Welcome to the KBOO Evening News. I'm Heather McCoy. Last Friday, June 26th, there was a large protest downtown led by a group called the People vs. ICE PDX. The march was peaceful and called to attention the horrific conditions ICE detainees face both in informal concentration camps and the prison facilities where ICE contracts out space. Andrea Sid is joining us to discuss the current conditions for ICE detainees and the fight to abolish ICE. Welcome to the Evening News.
Thanks for having me. Really appreciate that.
Oh, you're very welcome. At the rally at Terry Struck Plaza, there's a number of speakers making the connection between the fight against police fatality and how U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, operates. Can you make some of those connections for our listeners?
Yeah, I think the overall link that we are trying to connect is that this fight to abolish ICE is the same as the fight to, you know, defund police or abolish the police. It's the same objective. It is also a Black Lives Matter issue. We give thanks to the Black Lives Matter movement specifically, just because the turnout would not have been as big if it was not for what they're doing. So we thank them enormously. We give them a big thanks for opening the pathway for us to be able to do this and have recognition. Our biggest thing is that, it is not just the Latinx community that is being affected by ICE. There are also Black immigrants, people who are undocumented, who are being abused. And our biggest concern when it comes to the abuse is from ICE is mostly the children. That is our biggest concern, is making sure that the children are safe, sound, and reunited with their families.
Yeah, on June 26th, the same day as the rally, announced at the rally as everyone was starting to leave, a federal judge ordered that all children in ICE custody for more than 20 days, they are to be released July 17th. What is the impact of this ruling?
Yeah, that was very emotional. We literally found out minutes after the event officially concluded. So I got back on the mic and I made everyone freeze. And as soon as I announced that was just an overwhelming amount of emotion from everyone, from myself as well. I tried to hold back tears just because it was just so overwhelming, and we're very happy and pleased to be hearing such a thing. You know, this is obviously a very small step, and, you know, so we hope to just keep continuing to spread awareness of what's going on, because change can happen the more aware people are.
In 2018 and 2019, the fact that our government was running a collection of what are concentration camps is front page news. Since the COVID-19 pandemic has swept the world, how badly has already horrible conditions gotten? Also, according to ICE's website, the agency has stopped in-person visits due to COVID. How are the detainees getting access to the outside world to connect with their families and contribute to our understanding of what's happening within the confines of the walls?
That's one of our biggest concerns as well, is because that's not being made very clear. I know a few years back, Senator Jeff Merkley had tried to visit one of these detention centers that I believe was just an abandoned Walmart. Mm-hmm. So we do have some pushback to try to find out these answers. But, you know, as for now, this is all just reports. We can't officially confirm everything, which is scary for a lot of people. Why is this not public knowledge? Why are people not aware? Why is ICE not being open about this? You know, what are they hiding? So that's a big concern that we share as well, and that we're trying to work on as well, because we don't have any concrete answers.
COVID, how is that has spread throughout detention centers? I know that the New York Times, I believe, on June 18th published something where the five biggest outbreaks were all within prisons. ICE has known the contract out for square footage in prisons. The country of Guatemala is not taking basically expelled people from the U.S. because they contributed to 15% of their confirmed cases of COVID. What are the conditions like for the spread of the disease within the prison walls?
For ICE facilities, or
yeah, just ICE facilities, yeah. Specific. Is it worse than just regular prison, or is it kind of on par with that, or is it too hard to tell?
It is a bit too hard to tell. We know that ICE is trying to take measures to help prevent the spread of COVID, But the biggest issue we have is how they're going about that. They're starting to spray people reportedly up to 100 times a day with HDQ neutral, which is a sanitizing spray that is meant to disinfect surfaces. It's not meant to be near people. You know, it says keep out of reach of children, wear goggles, gloves when handling, wash hands, anything that is exposed. So, you know, we really can't say, because we know that any mistreatment or any symptoms that people are having, it's mainly a result of HDQ neutral, because it causes, you know, problems with lungs, it causes bleeding, it causes permanent skin and eye damage. So we can't really say where all of these symptoms are coming from specifically, because HDQ neutral is also making people sick as well.
Yeah, and I think that was a detention center run by the Geo Group. Yeah, and so do you know if that spray is more than just that one prison in California? Is it in a lot of places?
We're not sure with that either. Again, we're hearing different reports, which again is one of our biggest issues, is why are we not getting concrete answers? And if there are concrete answers, why is this not being known? Like, this is important information that the public needs to know. This needs to be handed to us. So again, that's also one of our biggest concerns.
Portland has a history of protest movements around the evolution of ICE. There's Occupy ICE in, I think, 16 or 17. City governments tend to be more responsive to protest movements, as some cities are defunding the police in the wake of the George Floyd protests. How do you create a nationwide movement around the abolishment of ICE?
You know, that's one of our, you know, another thing we're looking into as well. We're trying to take, we're definitely inspired by the Black Lives Matter movement that's taking place here in Portland. So a lot of what we're doing is trying to see what works, what doesn't, and experiment, really, because we are so new. This is only our second event that we have planned, so we are just mainly drawing inspiration from the Black Lives Matter movement and, you know, getting in contact with other organizations who have been doing this, what results, you know, we can achieve with, you know, depending on what we do, we want to know what works best. So we're really just looking into what other groups have been doing, especially the Black Lives Matter movement.
How can listeners connect with your movement to find out when next actions are taking place and how they can get involved?
How people can get involved with our next event?
Yeah. Where do they connect to get involved with your group and then upcoming events?
Right. So we are having a next event July 11th. We're not sure on all the details, but yeah, definitely the People versus ICE PDX. We are on Instagram with that username, Twitter with that username, as well as Facebook with that username. And then our Gmail for a lot of people who do want to volunteer and offer services, we ask that you email us because it's just easier to organize that way at thepeopleversusicepdx@gmail.com.
My guest has been Andrea Sid with the People versus ICE PDX. Thanks for being on the KBOO News.
No, thank you so much for having me. We're so grateful. Thank you.